This is the With a Dog podcast, a podcast for the modern dog parent. I'm your host, Carly, and every Wednesday I bring on pet professionals or some fellow dog parents, and we laugh, learn, and commiserate about everything from the confusing vet visits to dog park etiquette to the 2 a.m. potty breaks. Essentially, life with a dog. Hello, people with a dog. It is the FWOD girlies back again. Got Charlotte.
Ayo.
And Ashley.
Hello.
And I am Carly, your host. We are doing part two of the marketing and consumerism in the pet industry series, two-part series. I think since we didn't do this last time, we just did little life updates on the first part. We're going to do our February with a dog wins. What do we have? Ashley.
All right. Well, my win is kind of related to my life update from last time, and we signed a lease and we are officially moving in March. But I think it's a win, not for us necessarily. I mean, it is, but it's a big move for Jonathan, and we're like so excited for him because the apartment is gigantic. There is space for lots of full speed zoomies. There's like dog park on the roof, dog spa, whatever. But also we're going to be really close to a lot closer to a bunch of parks. And it's a very large dog friendly neighborhood. So he's going to make all these new friends and he's just going to have like the best time.
Oh,
truly. Like,
he's going to love
it. Everyone we talk to, they're like, even like the leasing agents, they're like, oh, he's going to love it. Like, it's so cute. So this is all for Johnny. I mean, I guess it's for us too, but he's about to level up and get his luxury life
going set. Even more so. Yeah.
Yes.
He'll have room for all of his toys.
Yeah.
It's going to go from the luxury life of Ashley and Carly to the luxury life of Jonathan.
I'm about to be so bougie.
I'm excited for the... Okay, this is why it's such a great win, is that it's not only you, but I think, like, when you move, usually you move into a better place for yourself, and of course your dog is part of that decision, but sometimes you have that nervousness of, like, is the park as nice as the other place? Mm-hmm. Or, it's, like, a little farther away to the vet, or, like, whatever. And I feel like in this case, it's just, like...
Win after win after win.
Yes. Like,
vet is at the end of the block, waterfront park, nice. Plus a big park, plus a little park, like there's no downside for him.
I'm so excited for you guys.
The only downside is that there's no Toms.
Yeah.
That is sad. Tom.
That's okay.
It's a pretty big downside, but
yeah, that is.
You'll just
that
have is. To go visit.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like an excursion. That's a big
for real.
A big trip.
Big trip.
Yeah.
But we might be able to get a car. So
yeah. Make it easy.
Oh my goodness.
No more dog-friendly Ubers in your life, mm-hmm. or fake dog-friendly Ubers.
A car would be... Okay, well, we'll talk about that later. Okay, that would be so insane. Like, life change-wise.
Yeah.
Charlotte, what is your with a dog win?
I feel like we haven't been doing very much lately, so I don't really have any. But the reason we haven't been doing very much is because my girls went into heat. And my win is that they both went into heat. So they are synced on Annabeth's first real heat. And hopefully it stays that way, because heats are not difficult to manage, but they're freaking annoying. And they've been really good at the whole downtime thing. They've been trying really hard to be chill and just play in the house. And yeah. So my with a dog win is that my girls' periods are synced.
I mean, yeah, as a dog mom, that's a big win. Just for the minimal hassle.
Yeah. Ginsburg's on a 252-day cycle. I do track, and I'm really praying that Annabeth is also on a 252-day cycle.
This is the part of dog parenting that I know nothing about, which we don't need to get into now, but it's just
they're intact for a variety of reasons.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I've just never had an intact dog at all, because both of my dogs I got them like when they were older, and they were rescues, and they're male. So it's like,
right.
Yeah. So it's just interesting. Speaking of my with a dog win this month, is we officially changed Albie's food. We may change it again, but we're gonna see. We just didn't even know what food he was like. He may or may not have an allergy to or anything, because he was always on lamb kibble, because that's what Lupin was okay with. And so poor Albie was only ever allowed to have that. So it was kind of a win, just like it was a little bittersweet moving away from the kibble that we had Loopy on for so long. Aww. But it was also like, oh, I'm happy that we're doing this for Albie. Like, he has his time to be the priority and to finally have, you know, fish, because Lupin was like very allergic to every type of fish. And so now he can have like salmon oil and like all those little things. And so, yeah.
Albie.
How's he doing on it so far?
He's good. He typical Albus. Literally, you wouldn't know that he was changing foods at all. No change in digestion or anything. Like Lupin,
such
you add like
dog.
Three kibbles of a different kind. And he's like, I'm going to have diarrhea for a few days. Albie, you could feed him like an entire different diet. He has such a strong stomach. He's fine. Great poops.
He's literally so easy.
He's so easy. And we're even talking about, we're like, oh, maybe we'll re-landscape our backyard, because he's like, he has such like easy poops that they're easy to pick up. And he only ever pees like around the edge too. So he doesn't ruin our grass either. And I'm just like, this dog is so perfect. Like, we could actually do something with our backyard because he won't ruin it. Unlike Lupin, who peed for like a minute straight and there was like a puddle and like killed every part of the grass. Anyway.
Oh my god.
I feel like you earned Albie. After all the work you put into Loopy over the years, you earned an easy dog.
Every dog will be easy from now on.
Honestly, yeah. I hope so. Yeah, so that's, I'm happy that Albie is being the priority. And so that's my win for him. He deserves to be the priority.
Yeah, he's the boy.
Okay, so that is our With a Dog Wins for February. Let's move on to part two of our marketing and consumerism topic. This one is consumerism. I feel like the last part, like part one, marketing, was more of the business POV. And then now the consumerism is like from us as consumers, like, why do we fall for these traps?
Yeah.
Why do we make it so easy for them to market to us, kind of? And like, why is consumerism so rampant, I think, in the dog world too? Okay, so that's kind of like what we're going to be talking about today.
Let's talk about things that are overconsumed. And I'm going to kick it off with the freaking bandanas. Oh my god. If you have been on Instagram for a few years, you will remember, let's see, it was about 2019,
2018-ish. I think it was like, earlier than that.
I think it was earlier as well, but it was definitely still a big thing when I first moved to Colorado.
Yeah.
Everyone and their mother was representing some bandana company. Everyone who got a Cricut suddenly had a bandana business. Mm. And everyone was trying to find out what set them apart, or they were just copying other people. Everyone would have the same Joann Fabrics print. Like,
yes.
I don't know. Bandanas can be cute. But I think we really overhyped the bandanas, and so many people, people would post their collections of bandanas and there would be like 100 freaking bandanas. It's like, why did we put our dogs in so many bandanas?
Look, Lupin looked this fabulous was a thing. In a bandana, okay?
Hounds look fabulous in everything though, so you can't judge it by a hound dog.
That's true. But Lupin, oh my god, my bandana collection for him, I think maybe I only have like 15 or something, but I bought majority of those in like 2017, 18.
Did he have any sassy ones? I was a sucker for the sassy ones. Like, Kiki had one that said on one side it was a flamingo print and on the other side it said so flocking fabulous.
I didn't do sassy. You know what? I got,
I think,
his
like $30 for that. Yeah, like, that's, I would pay an obscene amount for stupid bandanas.
Okay, this is the issue, I think, with the bandana thing. We can talk about why they were so rampant and all of that, but I think another thing that we need to address is the fact that the quality of them was a huge range of quality, because it's like $30 yes. for a, here we go, $30 for a bandana that's actually like, you know, maybe some kind of really nice like wool or something. It's double lined and it has like nice seams. There's a snap or whatever. Like all of those things, if it checks all of those quality boxes, I would be like, okay, yeah, this is worth $30. But the ones that were $30 that were literally a piece of fabric cut into a triangle and then you just tied it around your dog's neck.
That's what the So Flocking Fabulous was.
Yeah.
And oh my God, this one company, this one brand, which I don't think they even exist anymore, but they would do Instagram live auctions.
Oh my God. People,
this is like LuLaRoe leggings.
Oh
yes, my God. Literally. And I'm surprised there wasn't a dog bandana MLM, honestly, because they would get into these auctions and my mom sat and watched one with me. And I was like, oh, you know, Kiki's bandana, that's from them. Someone spent like $50 on this like hilarious. Yeah, it was hilarious, but it was made on a, you know, Cricut, two pieces of Joann fabric sewn together. It wasn't like nice.
You know what? I'm going to say it. Dog bandanas were like the live, laugh, love thing of dog parents, of dog moms. Like you know, everyone really had that live, laugh, love like thing from Home Goods. The bandanas were that for dog moms. Not that all bandanas are bad, but like especially those sassy ones. Like, with, like,
the
little
sassy
sayings.
Ones are so like sign hung up in the,
yes.
the house. Like I loved them though. I came up with a bunch of designs to make my own bandana company. And then I was like, this is way too much work because I am not going to charge $50 for a cheap bandana. So I'm not going to make enough money. But yeah, I think Instagram actually really contributes to this element of consumerism. It's just like everyone has it and that makes you want it. At least for me, I don't want to say I want to keep up with the Joneses. And it's not necessarily about having the nicest stuff, although sometimes it is. It's about having what everyone else has. Everyone else was wearing these cute ass bandanas. So my dogs had to wear these cute ass bandanas instead of me grocery shopping that week.
Oh my girl.
Okay.
All
it
right.
wasn't quite that bad, but it was not good.
But well, I think Charlotte, as since you are like a pet like creator and stuff, I think you may fall into that even more of like my dog is my identity kind of thing.
I know. I'm working on that whole thing.
Well, which is understandable. Like that's what I'm saying. Like I think there's a whole section of people that do fall for those kind of things and put their needs below their dogs because the dog needs a new bandana or whatever.
I mean, I didn't actually replace grocery shopping with bandanas, but I did go into credit card debt for bandanas.
I don't know if that's better or worse.
Not much better.
That's worse. Okay, okay.
It might be worse.
What were you saying, Ashley?
I was just going to say, I was just kind of there for like the aesthetic once again, where I'm like, ooh, one more accessory to match to my dog's harness.
Yeah.
You know, that was it for me. And I like, I have so many that I will probably try to get rid of. Like, because yeah. Jonathan doesn't even like them. He's a sweater boy. He doesn't like bandanas.
That is the thing. I think Lupin just looked so fabulous in them. And Albie only looks good in certain prints. Like Lupin could kind of, he could pull off like a floral even. Yeah. Albie's like,
I'm telling you, tricolor hounds can pull off literally any color, any pattern.
They can, but I think Albie's a little bit too, he's a little too masculine. He's like, just the flannels for me. Like I need a plaid kind of.
Especially foxhounds because they're pretty metro.
I also like,
fair.
I think it was,
tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm wrong.
Lupin's long neck for sure.
Yes.
That's,
he had the neck for a
so
bandana.
Dainty.
He does. Yeah. He does.
Starsky looked good in a bandana too. Yeah.
It's so an aesthetic good. Thing, I think, for sure, with the bandanas. But I think it's interesting from the consumer perspective of this, of bandanas in particular, is out of all the dog products out there, this was one that the dog moms could actually make themselves.
And boy, did they make them.
And boy, did they make them. I think that's why we had such a
there
range
were
in
so
quality.
So many companies.
Yeah, there's so many companies. So many people just do it as like a little side for fun thing, you know, have their friends give them like $5 or whatever. And then they start to sell them on Etsy and then they sell them on Instagram. And this is not to shame or like look down on any of these people that did the dog bandanas that like made them. But it is one of those things that I think for the first time, dog parents could actually produce a product for this pet industry. Whereas it's very hard to produce your own lick mat. or something. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And so I feel like bandanas, I'm surprised that snuffle mats didn't take off more, because those you can definitely make yourself as well.
Yeah, those are super easy.
And they're actually useful in comparison to bandanas.
That's what I was going to say. Like, I have no problem buying a bunch of collars, even if the collars are accessories, because they're useful. And that is an element of consumerism too, right? This is, we're not looking down on anyone. Spend your money however the hell you want.
Yeah.
But we're talking about consumerism, and the bandanas are like the pinnacle of dog mom consumerism.
Yes.
That the bandana era.
We had to address that era.
Yeah. I mean, you can't do an episode on consumerism without it. But I'll buy any number of collars. I don't really care. And that feels less consumerist to me, because they serve a useful function as opposed to purely aesthetic.
I mean, however you need to justify it, Charlotte.
I know. I'm like, at least they serve a function. They don't need 10 collars, but like, whatever.
Exactly. I have owned one collar for both of my dogs. And they shared it.
Collars are like my collars and tags. I'm a hoe for tags. Also useful, but your dog only needs one tag. But I like to like mix and match them on different collars.
Okay. See, this is what I mean. Like, it's so easy to go down this rabbit hole of like, well, I like this. And then if you mix and match, and then when you pair it with this bandana, it looks all great.
And you're supporting small business, so it feels good.
And there's the aesthetic aspect of it. So let's go. That was like micro example of bandanas. Let's go a little bit macro here of why do you think us as dog moms collectively, not just us three, are so susceptible to the marketing tactics that we talked about in the last episode, and then also just specifically pet industry products?
I think a huge part of it is that millennials can't afford kids. So we have like a little bit of disposable income, not enough to have a kid, but enough to buy our dogs some nice things. And I don't think that's like intentional, or I think it's more subconscious, but I do think like we don't have a kid distracting us with, oh, the kid needs the after school activities. The kid, you know, just grew out of their sneakers. The kid needs new sneakers. The dog is not just a pet, right? The dog, I don't want to say a kid substitute because it's not, but the dog does take over some of the role that children take over. And I think that does drive some of it.
I think that's fair. I think even kids or not, I think if we look at it from the gender perspective of like women dog moms, and of course this episode and everything we're talking about can be geared towards, you know, however you identify, like dog parents on a whole, but I think there is this aspect of consumerism specifically within women in society. I'm actually been reading this book. It's called Invisible Women. I think I maybe told you guys about it a while ago.
Adding this to my list right now.
Yes, it's a nonfiction, like it's an informative book, and it's just, oh my god, it's so interesting how much of society was built around men, but not in this like patriarchal, like, oh, like they're the boss of us kind of way. It's just the book really highlights how a lot of the builders, creators, designers, things like that in our history have been men. Therefore, they use their own personal experience to produce the things. So anyway, highly recommend that book. But it really points out and has a lot of statistics about how women do the majority of like unpaid care work in the house or in the home. And part of that is the consumerism. They are buying the groceries. They are buying the kids' new school shoes. They are buying like those kind of things. Not saying that's right, not saying that men can't do that, but just like that is statistically what's happening in majority of societies. So it kind of makes me wonder if it's like a care thing, like a subconscious care thing that we do of, I need to buy the new sweater for them because if my...
I could see that.
You know, like that means they're cold. That means I'm not taking care of them. Therefore, I'm not doing my job and I'm not fulfilling my role as their parent, their dog parent, as their owner, as a woman in society. So anyway,
I think it's also like,
I think we could just end.
Women, yeah, thank you for joining with the dog podcast. Goodbye.
It is reinforced, though. Like, when I worked for PetSmart, like, we were supposed to call people pet parents. Like, yeah. So they were reinforcing this idea. I think the consumerism definitely feeds the marketing, which then feeds the consumerism from, especially from, like, this parenting aspect of it. And you want your kids to have the best. I want my kids to have nice sweaters. It doesn't matter if they're my fur kids or my kid kids.
True. I mean, if I ever have actual, like, human children, they aren't getting jack shit, but...
Yeah, I should say none of us are human mothers.
Yes. Yet. So to be fair, but I agree with that. Like the wording, as you said, Charlotte, of the pet parents, because even I say that. I say that on the podcast because I try to be inclusive to like multiple genders and stuff. But then also because I think we've been told a little bit that the word owner is very, you know, like a submissive master.
Yeah. Also, it feels good. I like calling myself a dog mom. I'm not a human mom yet. I like calling myself a dog mom, which maybe that's the caring aspect.
Yeah.
It feels good to call myself a dog mom, and it feels good to take care of my dogs, whether that's, you know, the nice new stuff or a million fucking bandanas.
Yeah, I think that transition maybe from dog owner to dog parent, dog mom that we've had in society in our generation makes it so it is easier to lean into some of those consumerism things. Like if I thought of a dog owner, like I'd be like, I don't identify as that. Like he owns me.
No, like, I identify as a dog mom. Yeah.
He owns my life.
I really wonder how and if my like dog mom identity is going to shift when I do have kids, because I plan on having kids. I don't know. I'm very curious to see if I still engage in this consumerism around my pets when there's a toddler running around too.
That's true. Not that they would be uncared for, like your dogs, but would you engage in the consumerism part?
Is cared for like a pet.
Question. Yeah. And on that note, actually, Charlotte, I am inviting some guests on to talk about that specifically, because that has been a question I've had for a very long time. Is like, I want to poll, honestly, thousands of people who were like that millennial dog mom and then had kids. I want to know what you're feeling, because it's like, I can't know that. And I'm curious.
Well, I can tell you it really shifted with my sister. The way she has dogs now is very different than the way she had dogs 4 years ago.
Well, and I think that actually is a fear probably of a lot of dog moms our age. You know, maybe growing up, they saw that, you know, the parent, like the family dog that didn't really get cared for. And, you know, like, I mean, yes, they were cared for as far as their needs were met and they were loved and part of the family, but they didn't have four beds throughout the house and a few different colors. And, oh, you know, they're really itchy. That was never looked into, maybe, by the parents.
I want a bed in every room.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, it was a different time. And so I think a lot of people live in that fear. And so maybe they do a lot of the spoiling, like, because of that. Because we saw how maybe we didn't like the treatment. And then now we're, like, swinging the other way to this other extreme of, like, overcompensating, maybe? I don't know.
I know someone who, you know, he's older. He's one of my parents' friends. And they treated their dogs abusively, and he didn't know any better because that was what his dad did, right? And now he spoils the crap out of his grand dogs because of it.
Interesting. Well, maybe, Ashley, you mentioned this on the last episode about this kind of like millennial consumer, like coming of age, mm-hmm. pet ownership kind of thing. And maybe that's something that we're experiencing, is that we toe this line between seeing the boomer, maybe like older Gen X version of dog care to now what we have swung the other way to this other extreme. Maybe, yeah, like maybe it's like because we're still in that generation of like we, you know, have all the technology now, whereas our parents never had that. Like we are this generation that so much in the world changed. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe that's why we're like so susceptible to these things.
I mean, I guess essentially, like, I saw how we raised our family dogs and they like meant so much to me, and I wasn't like happy with some of the decisions that were made with their care, and I didn't feel like listened to, essentially. So I kind of highly overcompensate with Jonathan. Thank God he's not a real child, because he would have trauma with how like codependent we are. and how obsessed I am with him. But like, yeah, like it's always in the back of my mind where I'm like, I will never, you know, skip out on a vet appointment. I will take him for every single thing. I will make sure I get him on this. I will make sure, like, yeah. And it just also comes down to like stupid things like his raincoat. I mean, that's like a little different, but I'm like, oh, he's got to have it. Like, we can't have him getting wet and cold. That's so sad. Like,
okay, for everyone who doesn't know, Ashley bought a very expensive custom raincoat for Johnny because all of the raincoats out there were not long enough to cover his booty. His little bum was getting wet, and she couldn't have that.
I couldn't have it. It just kept falling off, and then he'd look at me all sad, and I'm like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. So I bought a $200. I bought this years ago, by the way.
Yeah. It was an investment, to be fair.
It was an investment.
Good investment.
Yeah, for his whole life. I think it's worth it.
Yes. Oh, for sure. For sure.
Well, and I think older generations would buy their dog a coat, but they're not buying their dog a $200 custom.
I don't know. I still get a lot of crap for just having a coat on him. They don't need that. They have fur.
Well, that's... But it's, I feel also like that's like, also I don't dog life.
Yeah, it's also like I, as dog mom, don't want to have to dry them off after the walk.
Right.
Either. So, so I feel like maybe some of this consumerism stuff is we want the best for them, but we also are hopefully making our life easier or more convenient in some way.
Yeah.
You know what? There's another aspect here. If we are going along like millennial, zillennial age ranges here, I think we also, specifically with millennials, we also were a little bit of the age of the fast fashion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, like the Forever 21, the limited That's a throwback. Two, like, you know, Hot Topic, whatever. I don't know. Like, name the store of just really crappy quality of clothes, of products,
yeah.
I should say.
Yeah.
And I think we really, especially, I think for sure I can say when I was younger, as a consumer, like in early 20s, early to mid 20s, I definitely fell into that trap of, I just need this dress for this one time thing, like go into Forever 21 and buy something. And like this, you know, even though it's terrible quality, like the fabric is practically see-through and and you could, like, the seams are coming undone. But I'm like, this is perfect for the sailor-themed sorority party I have on this weekend.
Like, that sounds oddly specific.
Yeah.
There were actually no sororities at my college. So, but yes. But like,
we once had a cats and frats party.
Oh, my God.
Cats as in, like, the musical? Or as in cats?
No, just cats. Cats and frats.
You know what? That sounds like something that would be in Mean Girls. Like, everyone, like all the girls show up in mini skirts with like little cat ears. Okay.
Anyway. I just felt like you guys needed to know that.
But yeah, like the hyper consumerism thing. And there's actually, God, this is actually some kind of, I'm not going to call it a proverb, but it's like one of those stories that has like a moral to it where
it's anecdote.
You know, like some
proverb.
It's, I don't know what it would be called. Like, it's not like in the Bible. It's just like one of those like stories. But basically, God, I wish I remember the name of it. It's something about like shoes or something. But the idea is it really points to classism, honestly, and like how you purchase things is they talk about like the old money aesthetic these days. And it's the whole like you purchase something of quality, like Johnny's raincoat, let's say. Mm-hmm. It's an investment. It's expensive. Yes. It's high quality, but you use it forever.
Yep.
Versus the people who maybe don't have access to lots of money, purchase that pair of shoes, that whatever, that lasts 1 year, and then they have to get another one year after year. And then in the end, who spent more is the question. You know, it's the person that had to buy 1 year after year versus the person who just paid more up front, like at the beginning. So it's this moral thing.
I think about it a lot.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah.
No, I do too.
That affects my life a lot. Like, even, I mean, mostly with non-dog things, but like, I will be like, my dad will be like, you're spending more money this way. And I'm like, yeah, because I can't afford to get the yearly membership or whatever.
Yes, exactly. And that's the thing is, I think a lot of...
That's why they say it's expensive to be poor.
Yes, that's like, I think I read it in some kind of like financial article thing.
Yeah.
But going back to like dog parents and consumerism, I think us as dog moms may fall into that trap more often because of all those marketing tactics that we talked about in the last episode then we're also in this generation of we're used to maybe buying one thing a year or buying things of lower quality. And yeah, so I wonder if it's something like that that contributes to us easily purchasing more things than we need.
Speaking of Instagram, I find that Instagram, especially in the last like 2 or 3 years, has gotten a lot more educational, which we talked about in the last episode. But from a consumerist perspective, more knowledge makes us more vulnerable to those marketing tactics.
Yes.
I think. And again, we talked about this in the last episode, but like more knowledge leads to more spending. Like, okay, joint supplements are good for dogs. Okay, I'm going to spend $40 on a joint supplement this month. Like, okay, my dog needs a special harness because it's better for his back. Okay, I'm going to spend $90 on this harness. So I think there's a lot of enrichment toys. Oh my God, don't get me started on those. Mm-hmm. Like, we know enrichment's good now. So there are a bunch of companies like marketing to us about how enrichment is so good. So that leads us to spending more on enrichment toys, especially because it's no longer an enrichment toy if you use it every day.
Yes. Or, I mean, With a Dog podcast does an episode with, you know, with the creator of certain, with Nina
Audison.
Thank you. Nina Audison, you know, the creator of many enrichment toys. And she explains that, oh, is your dog a visual enrichment? Are they, know, more tactile? And then, once again, more knowledge, where you then start to think, oh, well, I need an enrichment toy that hits on all of those different, you know, points of enrichment. And so it's like this more knowledge thing.
And knowledge is good. I'm glad I have more knowledge about it. But I do think it drives some of the desire to buy a bunch of shit that I probably don't need for my dog.
Yeah. I think this actually also goes to something you were mentioning earlier, Ashley, of caring for our dogs a little bit different than like previous generations. I realized, I'm just now putting this together literally, is that my dog, family dog growing up, ended up passing away or being, you know, we had to say goodbye to him because his skin allergies were so awful. But at the time we didn't know it was skin allergies. So the vet actually diagnosed it as like skin cancer. And so he didn't, like, he was like, his whole body
poor thing,
peeling. And I was away at college, so I didn't see like the extent of it, but it was like really bad. And he was a standard poodle. And so Lupin, when he had his skin allergies, I did a deep dive. I was like, we are going to figure this out because like, I'm not going to deal with that. But of course, that lack of knowledge back then. And then now that we have this overabundance of knowledge leads me to be like, Lupin can have no dairy and no fish and no gluten. And, you know, did someone give him a piece of bacon?
Buying a hydrolyzed diet.
and be like over the top with it. And I mean, who knows if Ditto, my family dog, was like actually a contributor to that or not. But I think that the knowledge part is like, we did not know. And my parents did not know. I mean, I think they tried a few different like shampoos because they thought it was like an environmental or like a topical thing. You know, it was just like this whole thing that now I've worked in this industry and I know all of this.
Right.
And
I don't blame your parents for putting them down at some point when allergies are so severe that they interfere with quality of life. That's a reasonable choice.
Yes.
But maybe it didn't have to interfere with quality of life if there had been more knowledge.
Yeah. And even the vets didn't have that knowledge at that time either.
Sometimes they still don't.
Yeah.
Ginsburg had that chicken allergy appear and everyone seemed to think it was Giardia, but then she came up clear for that. I don't know. And Kiki had, I appreciate the knowledge on some things because Kiki probably had a chicken allergy and I never knew. And I wonder if that was contributing to some of her issues. Like she was just so really uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. I think also another point that I definitely fall victim to on the knowledge aspect is the like alternative medicine thing, yes, like the health same. And wellness stuff that's really permeated consumerism in humans, which I totally fall victim to. And or I'm just like really interested in it. Like I was a biology like undergrad. Like it's like I enjoy deep diving into the science of like how the body works and stuff. But then this kind of stuff comes out for dog stuff too, and I think the great example of this is raw versus kibble.
Yes.
And so it's like, no, this is healthier. This is fresher. This is whatever X amount of nutrients. And like, no, it's not supported by vets. No, vets don't support it. But look at how much better my dog does on this, mm-hmm. is what you see on like social media. And I think as maybe a generation, as a society, we're more open to looking outside of that, like, quote unquote, like Western medicine. And I feel like there's that, if anything, that bothers me the most out of pet industry marketing.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me freaking too. Because it kind of like, I mean, it has its negative effects. Like now people are like not trusting vets and like,
yeah,
that sort of thing. And like personally, I feed Jonathan Purina Pro Plan. And at first I was like falling for all the marketing thing, thinking it was like a bad thing. But then like, then I realized after, you know, getting vets' recommendations, it's like they recommend it for a reason. It's because it's the most thoroughly researched, backed, mm-hmm. like trials, everything. Mm-hmm. Like highly
science supports it.
Yeah. What's the word? Like highly like regulated too.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So like, you know what? Once you put it in that terms and like realize it, you're like, why wouldn't I trust it? Like there's actually people like checking in on it, you know? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, it bothers me that like in turn now people are like not trusting veterinarians, and that has like some pretty dire consequences, frankly. Like
that is such a good take. I totally didn't even think of that. Like this ripple effect of the marketing and of the consumerism that you wouldn't necessarily think that advertising would then lead to people not trusting vets, but it totally is part of that for sure.
Take grain feed, for example.
Oh my God.
Oh yeah.
Dogs are literally dying.
That's really problematic for your dog.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
and like the grain free, it's like that ripple effect. Everyone was like, the gluten free was trending in human things.
Yeah.
But like,
yep.
And then they started doing grain free because then they marketed it where it's saying like, oh, like corn and GMOs and wheat is the most, you know, GMO affected plant in America, like besides corn, whatever. It like they toss in all these things and then they're like, so we have a grain-free food, but it turns out that those grains, you know, were a very much needed nutrient. And if anyone doesn't know what Ashley was talking about like all the dogs dying from grain-free food, but it was back in like 2010, a lot of dogs were dying of heart disease.
Mm-hmm.
And
it was also increasing, like lentils, I guess, aren't good for dogs, and they were replacing the grain with something.
Yes.
So they're replacing it with a crap ton of legumes.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, is that actually better?
Well, yeah, no, exactly. And that's the interesting thing of now, I think dog foods are aware. So if there is a grain free, I think most of the time they now supplement it with something else to combat that potential heart issue. You can listen, you can hear all of this info in my episode with Sean. It's called Raw or Nah, which is like, I think it was like 2020.
Great title.
Yeah. It was like one of our first episodes. It was back in like 2020 with Sean the vet. But yeah, he covers like the actual facts of this, so don't listen to us necessarily about like the facts. But the legumes, you know, other things are added in, but then yeah, dogs end up passing away, and then it's like, oh, maybe that alternative wasn't so good, and now we add grains back in. But of course they didn't say that on the packaging. On the packaging it just says grain free, and then you as a person are like, I must need that.
Grains must be bad now.
Yes. It actually really bothers me going into some of these pet stores that I know they're just trying to be there for the community, but you have so many of these alternative products in there. Like one anecdote, someone said, goat's milk was so good for my dog and I just get it at the pet store. And yeah, I can say down the street from me, the pet store has frozen goat's milk. And maybe, yes, it does help certain dogs for certain reasons, but it's not like a medical thing. That it's like that specific dog maybe just had a dairy allergy and goat's milk is significantly less in lactose. Mm-hmm. Or maybe it was the fat content or something, and that's why it helped their skin because they weren't getting any, you know, other fat in their diet, whatever. So it's just all this like anecdotal evidence for these alternative things.
Yeah. It's not like Cosequin, which is like every dog should go on it at some point in their lives. You know, like, I get what you're saying.
Exactly. It's just like this alternative thing of like, well, you know, my dog had stomach issues and I gave him goat's milk and then it helped a lot. And then these things become trending. So you have all this anecdotal evidence. Then you have the scientific. And then you have the actual companies marketing with all those tactics that we talked about in the last episode. Yeah. And so then you don't know which way to look. You're like, well, this one, you know, people say that this works. And so many people on Instagram say that the raw was really good. And then you have the, you know, the vets being like, no, 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 your dog is fine on this. Like, this is actually healthy. This is the standard. And then as a dog parent, you're kind of looking at both of them and you really are like this scale situation. You're like, okay, well, like, which one though? Which one is best for Fluffy? And then I think that's why we end up getting anxious and we fall for those guilt tactics and scare tactics and all of those things that we talked about.
Yeah, they really play on our emotions in order to sell a lot of shit.
Yes.
That like some of it, sure, is good for your dog. And maybe a lot of it is good for your dog, but how much of it is necessary for your dog?
I think that's a really great question, Charlotte, of is it necessary? I think that is a good thing that we can all, maybe that's the question we can leave the episode with, is like, yeah, all these things may be good for your dog, or maybe just not bad. Maybe there's no bad side effects, but is it necessary for them?
And do you want to spend your money on something that is unnecessary? Maybe you do, and that's fine. That's your choice. It's your dog. It's your pocketbook. But just like, have your eyes wide open. Maybe take a step back to be a little more mindful about the purchase.
Yeah.
I'm a sucker for tug toys. Tug toys and enrichment bowls. Oh, I freaking love the slow feeders and the tug toys.
Yeah. And see, that's the thing. It's like, I will give you them one enrichment toy. And I'm like, here's your box.
Egg carton.
Yeah. I'm like, I bought three things from Amazon. So here's your box that the Amazon purchases came in. And I'll throw some
kibble.
Busy
Box is just as good.
It is.
Maybe better than some of the shit I buy.
Like, no, exactly. And that's the thing is just, I think it's one, knowing that there are maybe alternatives that are just as good. You know, so like instead of the slow feeder, I literally throw a cup of Albie's food. I spread it around the kitchen ground. I just throw it on the ground and it spreads out and he eats it all. Like, I'm like, there's your slow feeder. He has to sniff it all out.
Yeah.
He's eating it slowly and like it gets all picked up. Obviously, he's not going to leave one. And I'm just like,
hound dog.
Like, I don't know. It's one of those things that maybe just like thinking outside of the box a little bit. And also, if possible, trying to buy that quality item that will last you a long time, which is hard, as you talked about, Charlotte. But I think maybe those are the things that we can just like leave everyone with. So maybe in the part one, we asked how dog companies are like marketing to you and can you notice some of those tactics. For part two, we will say maybe don't look outward, look inward and think, hey, like, is this actually necessary? Or what is my motivation behind this purchase? Is it guilt? Is it whatever? Like, do I have the money? Like, is this a wise use of my money?
Maybe put that $30 toy, put that $30 into a savings account for vet bills.
Exactly. A high yield savings account, everyone. Make money off your money that's in bank accounts.
Yes. Absolutely.
And I think this is a great combo.
Yeah, this is fun. Something a little different from our normal.
Ashley's like, oh God, you're thinking all through all your purchases.
I was actually, I'm like, there's a lot of things that I like got and now I'm thinking about how I have to move them. But I will probably try to get rid of them.
Yeah, it's interesting. We didn't even cover, like, we talked about things for your dog. We didn't even cover the things about your dog that we as dog
parents
purchased.
Oh my God, all the dog mom shirts.
The dog mom shirts.
Oh my God.
The art. The dog art that is on both art of our wall. Ashley's got a whole wall. It is beautiful art.
I have a huge wall just planned. I have so much freaking art that I don't even display. And I feel good about it because it's a small business, but it is racking up the money.
It does. And it's, I mean, there's just so many things I think we can consume in the pet industry.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many things we can.
Photographers. That's purchase. My job.
Yeah. And so it's just, it is very interesting to think about why it's so rampant and why we fall for it and why we
contribute to it.
Yeah, exactly. Why we contribute to it and keep it going, really.
Yep.
Anyway, I contribute to it. As much as we say don't, you know, fall for the consumerism, Charlotte has great affiliate links on her website, so go support her paying her bills. And we
fall
love
for
you
it
all.
With your eyes open.
We love you all. Thank
Invest
you so much.
Pet insurance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pet insurance as well.
Listen to the podcast. Use podcast. Suggest sponsors for Carly.
All right. Thank you everyone so much for listening to us. And I hope you guys got something out of this discussion. If you want to follow us, Charlotte is at Charlotte with Dogs. I am at Carly with a Dog on TikTok and Instagram. And the podcast is at With a Dog Podcast on Instagram. New episodes every Wednesday. We have our Friends with a Dog exclusive episodes twice a month as well. And we will see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
All content on the With a Dog podcast is for informational and comedic purposes only. It should not replace professional advice, treatment, or diagnosis by a certified veterinarian, trainer, or behaviorist.